This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
De Caloris.
De Caloris.
Good morning. It is colorful this morning, and a wonderful, wonderful readings this morning that so much point in so many directions about the life that we are given that is all in colors when Christ especially is in our lives. When I was in Suwannee, the last semester, I had a little bit of time. I went down the mountain to Winchester to a little thrift store. Just loved to wander, just look around. I wasn't looking for anything. And there was this beautiful map. It was a reproduction, I'm quite sure. And it was sort of brown, and it had seas, of course, and the land masses, the continents, etc. And it was a dated one, let's say 1750, something like that, to show what they had known at that time. And over near the North American continent, there was something that said terra incognita, unknown land, unknown, unexplored, and totally to be discovered within the future. Yet, there was also another legend that it said, hic sunt dracones. Next to the unknown territory were also the dragons. Now, I don't know about you, I'm not particularly a very brave person. I don't like to go down roads I don't know where they're going. I don't like to go places where I don't know how to pack for. I like some certainty in my life. I don't know if there are others that are like me. It's that if I'm going to go and I don't know, I just overpack, right? That's the solution. You just take it and carry it. And particularly about also where to go and where I think I might be safe. It's interesting to think that in terms of believing, in the psalm this morning, it points first in Psalm 31 of seeing God as the rock, the crag, the stronghold, the tower of strength, where we may go for protection, where we may be kept safe, and that to know that God is indeed that strength that encompasses us, that keeps us safe when we turn to God for that. He is our solace, the one who ministers to us in our needs, and we know that we are heard. And yet, we jump and go to the story of Stephen being a disciple who declares the word of God through Jesus Christ in the resurrection and declares him to be by God in the heavenly places, certainly heresy to those who did not believe in Jesus and believed in the one God. And at that point, when he's preparing to die, he is so brave. He is really such an example to us, because if we note that Luke cites what Jesus says on the cross, the same words that are in Stephen's mouth about, first of all, I commend my spirit to you, God, the first thing, and then the second thing that he says, and forgive them of any sins that they may have done. Where do we get from God as our protection to being willing to step out and be brave for the one who was so brave and nurturing and liberating for us? That becomes that space of belief. That I think that as Jesus addresses this morning in our readings, just as last week and in another week in our time of the Easter season, we've gone back to those discourses at the dinner table and Jesus preparing his disciples for his absence, his death, his suffering, and yet his coming back. And we hear these now not with ears of sitting at the table, so to speak, in a setting where it would be candlelight and listening to Jesus' words, maybe a little drowsy for the night, the time of the evening, but now hearing them again in light of resurrection, in light of victory, in the light of pulling us forward into our lives in Christ. And then he says, do not be anxious. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Paraphrase, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Believe in me and believe in my Father. We're one. If you believe in him, you will believe in me. Not only that, if you can't believe in that way of believing, then believe in the deeds themselves, because the deeds, the miracles, the disciples who'd walked along Jesus, beside Jesus, had seen so much of the misery that he had lifted, of the liberation of souls, of freedom, of seeing all at work in God's kingdom as it could be. How do we get from being fearful to being one who can be a believer of courage? There's a song that we will be singing at the Unplugged, and one of the stanzas of that is this. Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound if you are in me and I in you? It is certainly a call and a challenge to move to be able to give full disclosure of who we are to our Lord who loves, so that we may be whole to minister to the world. In seminary, there was a textbook that we read, and it was about the church. It was about the beginnings of the church and then the institutional church and continuing the community of the faithful that met generation after generation after generation. And it noted particularly those martyrs along the way. And it wasn't until the end that they connected the fact that it was Christian witness to where it was going. And it was the revelation to me, and it was like a light going on, that the word martyr means witness. The word martyr means witness. And I want to say, and I can't tell you which whether it's Greek or Latin, but that was the idea that opened my eyes. And I thought of Stephen. I thought of Stephen and his heart, willing to be there and to make witness as to what he had seen and known in Christ. Yet, things don't just stop there. There's always something that comes out of a situation, and in Luke's recounting of it, what does he say? And there was Saul. There was Paul to be, standing there with Stephen's cloaks at his feet. And what indeed did he do? He was called by another name and did absolutely deeds that were amazing in terms of his journeys and his witness to Christ and the churches that he founded. Peter calls us in the writing of the first letter of Peter this morning. He talks about stones. He says that we are newborn Christians, and in being newborns, we long for the pure spiritual milk that feeds us and makes us grow, so that by it you may grow into salvation. Indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him a living stone, and let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to a holy priesthood, and to offer sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That we are a house built of stones. In thinking about that, and about Jesus talking about his absence, he says that you can do deeds, we can do deeds, beyond what we ever think that we can do or think that we have the faith or courage to do. Unlike the tin man who wants a heart, which is a good thing, and the lion who wants nerve, we want both. We want both. There's a story of a man who was in hospice care, and his pastor went to see him. and very successful man in terms of the lights, the society's definition of successful. Wealthy, had contributed to many causes, had done good deeds within the community. And he said to him, Jim, he says, usually people want to talk. What do you want to talk about? And he said, I think my regrets. I want to talk about my regrets. He said, okay, what are your regrets? He says, they're really just one. He says that I just now learned how to love. He had just then realized the depths of love and the heart that he wished he'd had, that saw more in this world, more of the dragons that perhaps he could have attacked, more dragons that he could have put to sleep for the sake of justice and for humanity. The other is nerve. How do we become brave in Christ? How do we go forward? And I think Peter points that way in talking about a stone house. One of the things that I have enjoyed so much is the Curcio movement and been blessed to be able to participate in it. And it's all about Christianity. It means a short course in Christianity. As you all know, it's a four-day weekend and opportunity to go away. Sometimes you're told to pack a tennis racket, but don't believe it ever, okay? The other thing is that in that particular environment, we get to know Christ in a way that is very much planned, very much set so that we may know not only with our minds, so that we can understand, our hearts so that we can love, our wills so that we can give our wills to Christ, but also that we can continue in Christian community. One of the things is a follow-up of a commitment to meet with other Christians. And I am so encouraged that when I look around and I have talked to people, I know of one man who's continued to meet with the same people for 36 years. Can you imagine sharing your faith over that period of time as to where Christ has led you down those ways where you didn't know where it was going, yet with the support of community? And that is the beauty and the grace and the gift of community, is that, as we've said, when I can't pick myself up, you're there with me. When you need a hand or an arm, you turn to me. We pray together for what the needs of this world are, the needs of the community, our own needs, in light of community. And Curcio is that tool, I think, that brings this so firmly home, that an isolated Christian is hard to be a Christian without others. It's almost impossible. Even the hermits finally got together and created rules of life and how to live, because we learn from each other, from rubbing shoulders, from learning to forgive, for seeing this world as the needs are presented and addressing them. Curcio has made a change in so many lives. It is a blessing. It is the opportunity to serve, to love, and to receive that love. And when my heart can open to that love, I can turn to others. Help me, O Lord, to see the dragons around me, the unknown territory that lies ahead. But Lord, give me the heart, and give me the nerve, and give me the way that I may see your love and goodness, that it will carry me down that road to serve your people, my brothers and sisters, and that they may know your love also. Amen. Amen. Amen.